Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us today through His Word, the Bible. Is told of a young man who went to Canada looking for a job as an axeman for a lumber company. He approached the foreman asking if there was a job opening. The foreman replied, "That depends. Let's see you fell that tree over there." The young man set his feet and deftly felled the tree. The foreman was impressed. "Start Monday," he said. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rolled by, and Thursday afternoon, the foreman said, "Pick up your paycheck on the way out today." "I thought you paid on Friday," the young man replied. "Normally we do, but we're letting you go today because you're lazy. We keep a chart on the number of trees you cut, and you've dropped from first place on Monday to eighth place on Wednesday." "I'm not lazy," the young man strongly responded. "I arrive first, leave last, and often work through my coffee break." The foreman, sensing his honest response, reflected a minute and asked a penetrating question. "Do you sharpen your axe daily?" The young man answered, "I work too hard. I don't have time to sharpen my axe." No time to sharpen his axe. This could be applied to many areas of life. We'd like to apply it to the Bible. We get so busy making a living, meeting schedules, we fail to give much thought to the spiritual side of our lives. This area needs to be sharpened, or all of life will become dull. In the Bible, we find direction, help. Here on the Emmaus Bible Hour, we're seeking to help you sharpen your Bible knowledge. In this series, we're studying together the Bible course, Summary of the Bible. We're on lesson 2 and page 1 of that lesson. Our lesson is titled, On to Canaan. The book of Leviticus is a manual of instructions for the priests, given to Moses by the Lord as he spoke from the tabernacle while the people were still camping at Sinai. The main contents of the book of Leviticus may be summarized under 6 headings. First, we have the offerings, burnt, meal, peace, sin, and trespass. These 5 offerings, the people through their priests were to bring to the Lord as a sacrifice. These all set forth the death of Christ in different ways. Second, we have the ceremonies which the priests had to observe in order to fit them for their important duties. The third section deals with the laws concerning animals which could be used by the Jews as food, and other animals like pigs which were unclean. Fourth, we have laws concerning personal cleanliness and chastity, both of men and women. Fifth, there's a section with instructions regarding the detection and treatment of leprosy. And last in the book of Leviticus, we have regulations concerning the great solemn holy days of the nation. We move on to the book of Numbers. The events described in Numbers chapter 1 through chapter 10 and verse 11, that's Numbers chapter 1 through chapter 10 and verse 11, all of these events took place at Sinai. These chapters describe various preparations of the nation to pack up and march to Canaan. The most important requirement was to number the people so that they could be arranged in an orderly way for the procession. After camping for about a year at Sinai, the nation began its journey. Its behavior was characterized by complaints, rebellions, and unbelief. Finally, the sin of the people reached a climax at Kadesh Barnea, when they sent spies into Canaan to see what it was like. God had already promised them the land and assured them that He would drive out their enemies. Yet all but 2 of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, reported that the enemies were unconquerable. As a result of the evil report and the murmuring of the people, God decreed that the people would wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they would reach Canaan. Also, of all the people 20 years old and above, only Caleb and Joshua would ever enter the land. The rest would perish in the wilderness. The history of this prolonged wandering is almost unrecorded in the Scriptures. However, two incidents of importance are mentioned. First, because of an act of disobedience at Meribah, Moses was prevented from going into Canaan with his people. Second, because of their murmuring, the Israelites were plagued with fiery serpents. They were saved by looking at a brass serpent which Moses lifted up on a pole. After their many years of futile travel, the people returned to Kadesh Barnea, then started to journey to the plains of Moab, where they camped before entering the Promised Land. And there a final census was taken, and directions were given as to the division of the land. We've looked together rather quickly at the books of Leviticus and Numbers. Let's pause now for some music. I wonder if we might search our own hearts as to how much murmuring we do in our travels through life. If we are guilty, let's confess it to the Lord. Studying together the Emmaus Correspondence Course, Summary of the Bible. This course takes you through the entire Bible in 12 well-planned lessons. Helpful maps and charts are included. Stay tuned for information as to how you can obtain this course at the close of the program. We're now ready to look at Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. Now that the people were about to go into Canaan, God must instruct them thoroughly. They could only enjoy the land if they understood God's dealings, were acquainted with His thoughts, and were obedient to His will. Thus in Deuteronomy, we find Moses rehearsing their past history and reviewing the law. He faithfully urges them to be obedient and warns them against idolatry and intermingling with the heathen nations. Inasmuch as a new generation had arisen since the march to Canaan began, it was imperative that they learn from past mistakes and also that they be familiar with the law. In addition to this, Moses gave them more laws and instructions concerning their behavior in the land. There was special reference to idolatry, worship, false prophets, selection of a king, and wars. The results of obedience and disobedience were given in detail. In the closing chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, the future of Israel is foretold. Moses then blesses the 12 tribes as the time of his death draws near. The Lord buries his body in an unknown grave in Moab, and Joshua is appointed leader in his place. Our final book that we'll look at this time is Joshua. We'd like to mention again that there are some excellent maps in this book, Summary of the Bible. For instance, opposite the notes on Joshua is a map of the conquest and settlement of Canaan. The military campaigns are clearly indicated by means of arrows. Also, the cities of refuge are marked. Now let's look at Joshua. Joshua was faced with the task of invading Canaan, destroying its heathen inhabitants, dividing the land among the tribes of Israel, and otherwise settling the people in their homeland. He certainly had his work cut out for him. By way of preparation, he reminded the people that although the land was theirs, they must go in and possess it. The heathen occupants, known as the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and others, must be utterly killed, both to punish them for their unspeakable sins and to prevent the Jews from intermarrying with them. Before beginning the invasion, Joshua sent spies into Jericho, the first city in the plan of attack. A woman named Rahab, though a sinner, recognized that the Israelites' God was the true God, and so befriended the spies. For this deed, she and her family were later spared from destruction. In order to march from the plains of Moab into Canaan, the people had to cross the Jordan River. God miraculously held back the water flow so that the people went across on dry land. Joshua's general plan now was to drive straight into the center of the land, then attack toward the south, finally moving against the northern part of the land. The mighty city of Jericho fell first. At Ai, a smaller city, the Israelites were defeated because there was sin in the camp. When this was brought to light and punished, victory followed. Directing his attention toward the south, Joshua met an allied army of five kings at Gibeon. As they fled, God smote them with hailstones. The Lord also lengthened the day so that the Jews could win a complete victory. The conquest of the north centered around the waters of Merom, where the Lord gave the enemy into Joshua's hand. This campaign completed the overall plan of attack, although the Israelites failed to destroy all the inhabitants of the land. Also indicated on the map that we mentioned before is the manner in which the land was divided among the tribes. The tribes of Reuben and Gad and the one-half tribe of Manasseh were given permission to settle on the east side of the Jordan River. 9.5 tribes took up their inheritance in the land. Joshua's closing address to the people before his death betrayed his uneasy feeling that they might lapse into idolatry through contact with the surviving heathen in the land. And that's our brief look at the book of Joshua. For those of you studying this course at home, it's time for you to take the exam on lessons 1 and 2 and mail it to the address indicated. We invite all of you to stay tuned for our address so that you can write to us. Send us your comments and questions. And also, we'd be glad to send you information on how you could obtain this correspondence course, Summary of the Bible. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.